Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast. I'm Nick Mercer. This is episode 97, and I'm talking to Dr. Ashley Kennedy of Neurofon in Ottawa. And we're going to talk today about health tech, med tech, and concussions, brain injury. And speaking of which, I will now pause for word from my sponsor, HeadCheck Health.
Concussion Talk Podcast is presented by HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck Health to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more.
Okay, so Ashley, would you like to introduce yourself and just tell people what you guys do there, not you personally, sorry, or what you've done to lead you to what you guys do at Neurofon?
Yeah, definitely. So at Neurofon, what we're doing is we are combining data science, so machine learning and AI, with wearable technology to make concussion visible for patients and for clinicians and family members who are taking care of patients. The genesis of the company really was my personal experience with a father who played professional football and had several friends who passed away from diseases related to CTE. Right. And so those kind of early experiences, seeing some of his friends really go downhill from repetitive mismanaged concussions.
And you knew them before they're diagnosed, before they were showing any symptoms?
Yeah, we did. We knew them, or at least when their symptoms were mild enough that we really didn't notice.
Yeah.
And then it's a pretty quick decline for some of these football players who, you know, were the life of the party, and then all of a sudden things just completely change.
Exactly.
So that's kind of why I got interested in brain health. I'm an athlete. You know, that's just in my DNA. Yeah. And so in university, had a lot of friends on my track team who also played football. And it was the same thing for these guys. Like, they would be just the most sociable, you know, brilliant people that I knew, and then would sustain another concussion. And be out of class for weeks. Yeah. And then when they went back to class, never really had the chance to fully recover. So the more experiences I had like this, the more I realized how little we knew about concussion recovery and recovery post brain injury, and just started studying it. So I've got, I went to school for neuroscience, for exercise physiology, did a postdoctoral fellowship, really digging into the science behind recovery and how physical and cognitive activity supports healthy brain recovery after concussion specifically. And so that's really where the company began. And at that time, we kind of hit a new place in terms of technological advancement. So we had incredible capacity with cloud computing. Electrode sensors had advanced to the point where you could have these wearables that gave you a good signal while in, you know, your real life, as opposed to sitting quietly in a clinic getting a recording that way.
Right.
And so the company started by developing a simple application to give feedback to the patient, getting them physically and cognitively active and giving them kind of an indication as to when they need to slow down and take a brain break. And we've had the privilege of working with several physiotherapy clinics across Canada and getting some really good feedback that there's actually an important opportunity to support other types of rehab that can be done virtually. So vision training, vestibular training, balance training, and some cognitive behavioral therapy. So we've got this kind of suite of technologies that we can use to support patients.
Right. Well, that's great, because I actually have done a lot of podcasts with my Katie Mitchell. She's doing a PhD at Loyola, and she's done a few with me. She's done a few of her own on Thrive Neurosport Partners, her company, her physiotherapy. She's a physiotherapist, also doing, do you know of her?
I know of her, yeah.
Yeah, and they do a lot of stuff about this, about vision therapy and vision therapy necessarily, but vision and concussions and balance and so yeah, and also the psychosocial behavior, the biopsychosocial behavior, and how that's important and all of it. So sounds like you guys are in the same wavelength. That's good to hear that there are like definitely people from different disciplines, at least sort of, who are in the same, you understand, to come to not too long come to the same conclusions, or not conclusions, but same area, at least.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is the multidisciplinary. So not just having one professional looking at the injury, and not just having someone look at it from one perspective, but having kind of holistic groups made up of different people who can approach it from different perspectives, because it's concussion and brain injury, they're such complex injuries. You can't have one clinician taking care of the injury.
Yeah, it's just like numerous different symptoms,
yeah,
lots of symptoms that you can't just one clinician say this was happening and they ignore the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I read on your website there's a lot of stuff, the cloud and the app, which are mostly Sorgent and Cadence for your information, but the headband and the heart monitor seem to be so did you talk about, I don't know, let's start with that headband. What is the headband?
So the headband reads your brain activity. It uses something called EEG to look at brain waves. And what we're trying to do is make this really invisible injury a little bit more visible to patients. So we can use some of this data that is quite complex, have it processed in the cloud, and provide a really simplistic output to the patient that can guide different types of therapies. Right now, what we're trying to do is really create a robust program that can get patients cognitively active, so they can know how hard they need to push themselves when they're going back to school or back to work. And we can give them an alert when they're starting to overexert. That's the first focus for us. But, you know, the options to move forward with biofeedback are really endless.
Yeah.
And biofeedback is using your signals from your body, brain, heart rate, things like that, to retrain your brain, to allow it to heal, to allow it to find peace when it's getting to a really anxious or kind of scattered thought pattern.
Kind of mindfulness in a scientific way, like getting your parasympathetic nervous system to work as not, you can't control it necessarily, because that wouldn't be, that'd be fun. The point of the parasympathetic nervous system is you don't necessarily think about it, but you can at least recognize that shifts happening in the body and what can you do about it?
Yeah, that's right. And the what can you do about it is becoming more and more understood as the biofeedback body of literature increases. So we can see unhealthy patterns, and then as a whole, we're learning how to help the patient regulate those unhealthy patterns. A lot of work in anxiety, which is an important piece that we see our patients struggling with is anxiety after a brain injury.
You see that in most patients or most clients that, like, would you say a majority?
Yeah, so the patients that we see are not typical concussion patients. They're patients who are already having a difficult time getting back to their lives.
Like post-concussion.
They're typically people who are already in that post-concussive syndrome. And so, yes, anxiety is a common theme with those patients. Not all concussion patients. A lot of people just recover quite quickly and it doesn't really impact them. Yeah. But the patients that we see are struggling to get back to life.
Right. And I guess before we talk about more about how that is, what I was going to say about the it's more like getting people who are more, say, science-minded and fact-minded, stats-minded to think about mindfulness and think about just kind of an area that necessarily wouldn't think about. If you think like people think about things like yoga and stuff is more kind of a different mind, different type of personality that would go towards that than people who would necessarily be like engineers or lab technicians, like, you know, people who want that and people who want just to think about things. So it kind of melds the two with you getting data about your parasympathetic nervous system and all that stuff.
Yeah, you've got the biohackers who are more like the say they're the engineering type. They're biohackers are a special group of their own, but those are the people
the facts, man, that kind of thing.
Those are the people who are typically using these signals to optimize to optimize every part of their life, right?
Yeah.
But wearables can be used I think they're from my perspective, the best use of wearables is for them to be medical devices that can support patient recovery. And we've got our start with biohackers, people who want optimal sleep, exercise. That's given us a good starting place, but there's a lot of potential beyond kind of the wellness space the medical device intrinsically needs to combine the biohacker mentality and the wellness and bring those two together.
Yeah, exactly. So seeing which the next thing, the heart monitor, is that, how is that important towards your brain post-concussion or persistent concussion syndrome symptoms?
Heart rate can be used as a biofeedback tool to support mindfulness and meditation. The way that we use it, though, is we use off-the-shelf heart rate monitors. And we get our patients as physically as active as possible within the appropriate heart rate zone that supports brain recovery. And so all of this work is based on kind of the thought leader in this space, Dr. John Luddy. And his philosophy is that, and what he's seen, you know, come out of multiple large clinical trials, is that high intensity physical activity can support recovery post-concussion. But then from a clinical perspective, what we see is that patients are fearful of being intensely physically active after a concussion. They would prefer to sit in a quiet, dark room and just let their brain heal. But the literature is clear, intense physical activity, when it's done within a very specific threshold, can support and improve recovery. And so our technology with the heart rate is intended to push people physically to get them walking, sweating, jogging, possibly biking, getting them active again, to allow that brain to start healing in a more efficient way. And by making this visible for them, it it involves them in the process. It gives them confidence that they're not going to overexert and hurt themselves. And it gives them the extra push they need to go harder than they think they could.
Nice. So how do you determine when that, you don't get the detail of it, but how would you determine what is the person's, a random person's threshold?
It's actually based on kind of the gold standard that physicians use right now. It's called the Buffalo Concussion Test.
Yeah.
And you have the person physically active on a bike or a treadmill, and you increase the intensity until they get symptoms. And then your threshold is between 60% and 80% of that place where you started to get symptoms. And so we reassess that as the patient heals. Right. So it's a moving target that increases as you get better.
Do you do the Buffalo test there?
No, and so this is where our partnership with physiotherapy clinics has been really helpful. They're already doing it for their patients. And so they'll provide us, they can actually change the threshold as needed. They determine the threshold and put it into the application, and then we can tell the patient how their performance compares to that threshold.
So this technology goes directly to physiotherapists and their clinics, or do they go directly to patients themselves?
So now they're doing that. Now they're working with patients themselves, but in the future, we'll have a clinician web portal where doctors and physiotherapists and occupational therapists can log into the back end. Right now, it's all patient-centric.
Oh, yeah. But the technology from the product itself, is that's you sell that to clinics?
Right now, it's all to the patients.
To the patient, okay.
Yeah, but we've got partnerships with clinics who know the technology and can support patients as they onboard.
Okay, and you're saying that you were an athlete in university, you know, just in general in life, I guess. So you talk a bit about that background, like what was your experience with concussion or with athletics, or not to say athletics, but like sport?
Yeah. So ironically, my sport was not a concussion sport. I was a sprinter. I ran track for Canada.
Nice.
I was a 100 meter sprinter, 100 meter hurdler. But in college, being a sprinter meant that a lot of the football players would sprint with us in the spring, and then would play football in the fall. So I got to know a lot of the guys who were really in the midst of, hiding their concussions during season, and even off season. If they got injured, they would hide it.
Yeah.
And we on the track would see the change in their mental health. We would see a change in their physical performance because of these repetitive head injuries. I didn't get a concussion until November of this year, ironically. Oh, yeah. My family and I were building bunk beds, and a big piece of the bunk bed fell on my head. So I was the first person, as the first beta participant, to use our technology.
Oh yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. So where, what did you do, track?
Where
did you go to university? Where did you do not?
I went to Stanford nice. As part of their track team, their sprinting team there.
And you did your PhD there, your postdoc?
No, so that was my undergrad, PhD at the University of Ottawa, okay. And at the University of Nantes in France.
All right.
And then my postdoc was at the University of Waterloo and the Toronto Rehab Institute. The Toronto Rehab Institute is such a cool place because they're constantly innovating and putting technology in patients' hands. So that was
really cool. I talked to actually my second episode 95 was with Laura Langer, who is a research scientist at the Toronto Rehab Institute.
Yeah.
Not with Kite, really, but with the Toronto Rehab Institute, but the concussion calculator. And they developed a concussion calculator just for doctors and physiotherapists and other health professionals now to look at and say, ask them those five questions. Then they ask them these five questions. They can determine if they'll be, not determine, say, they'll have a good sense of, if they'll be, this patient will be a long-term recovery, or just 2 weeks, or not 2 weeks, but just a short recovery?
Yeah, yeah. Prognosis is a huge area of research right now, and we'd love to be able to use our data to support some of the research that's going on with prognosis, because if you can identify people that will suffer and need intervention, if you can identify those people early, you can really shorten the recovery process. And it's, prognosis is such a hard area to understand with brain injury.
Well, that's a good segue, actually. So what are you guys working on now that you think is going to be, or do you want to work on soon? That's going to be, that you think would be, say, a game changer, but like important.
Yeah, so I think the real game changer will be connecting clinicians with their patients and using the data that we're collecting to help clinicians make data-driven decisions. It's such a subjective injury. And so if we can make the injury a little more visible to clinicians and to patients, and use our technology to connect them and to connect all of the treating clinicians together, so everyone's on the same page for that patient. One of the most frustrating experiences after my concussion was retelling my story to every specialist that I saw and not having any coherence between those.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What were your symptoms, your personal symptoms after your November concussion?
So I had a lot of vision and vestibular issues and auditory issues. So I've got tinnitus, I've got vision, like lingering vision issues, right. All of which I've had a lot of support with. We've got a concussion focused clinic. I'm sure they would love to talk to you too, Nick. 360 okay. Concussion.
Sorry.
360 name? Concussion's like the leader
okay.
In Ottawa. So
yes.
But they've been good at supporting a lot of the recovery pieces, but you're still your own advocate. You're still telling your story over and over again to every expert.
I guess that's kind of like what you presume, you don't know how much time you spent in the health system in the States when you were down there. But the States and Canada have obviously very different health systems, and very, very different there. Still, you know, doctors and health professionals, but, you know. So do you find that there's a synergy more, like, you know, like focused on getting patients to know what they want to know, but also what they need to know, which is kind of more of a, I don't know how to say it, but it's different approach to health, to medicine, as in like just what you think you should know, or do you want to have the right to know, as opposed to what you actually do need to know, and maybe you know, didn't think of it before. So like your heart rate or your EEG, maybe patients didn't think of that before, but it's very important they do need to learn that stuff. Do you find that to translate that is to convey that to patients is something that's challenging or
it is challenging. And again, that's why our clinic partners have been so helpful, because they can support some of the education that patients need to go through to understand how to really optimize their recovery process. We've certainly got a teaching component as well as the technology that we've developed. But concussion care can be so expensive in the US. See all the specialists you need to recover properly can be incredibly expensive. So if you've got patients who can optimize the recovery and know a little bit more about their brain health before going in to see all the slew of specialists.
Yeah, that costs a lot. Yeah.
Save some money, yeah.
Insurance is not necessarily going to be that helpful because you just got to pay premiums on that stuff too. So,
yeah, depending on where you get injured, right?
Cost is the back door kind of thing. They got to get jumper for money that way. But what was your PhD title for your thesis?
So I was looking at the impact of neuromuscular fatigue on biomechanics. So when your brain is exhausted, how does that impact your body's ability to execute tasks?
That is very important for me. Very interested in that because my brain does get tired. Obviously,
Oh, I get that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we're trying to prevent that state of kind of foggy murkiness for our patients, getting them active, but kind of preventing that cognitive overexertion.
But just your focus was cognitive, as in when your brain gets tired, how do you react cognitively, or do you say fantastic physically? For example, I swim a lot and last week I did a swim that was called Try the Tickle, which is the tickle between the ferry route in Newfoundland and this island that's offshore, like 5K, and people do the full 5K, but this year it's too windy. It's not important, but it's not part of this podcast. I know I can do the 5K, but just to swim a lot and play water polo and stuff. So, I mean, the 5K strength-wise is there, but endurance-wise is there too, but matter of executing the task of swimming and the waters of the ocean maybe are a bit obviously a lot more difficult than say a pond or a lake or a pool. And so do you look at how your body and your mind gets tired, your body is too, your higher body, how you're physically active, like your muscles are active?
I did it both ways. So extreme physical fatigue and how that impacts your ability to function mentally.
Okay.
And then extreme cognitive or mental fatigue and how that negatively impacts your ability to perform, to stay balanced, to execute complex fine motor tasks. So I did it both ways.
That is very interesting, especially for me. I think I'll be talking more about that. That's just fascinating stuff. And so right now you are working on prognosis capabilities, or you would like to?
We'd love to find a partner to use some of our data to dig into that prognosis question. Okay. We're not doing it internally.
No.
But we're acquiring tons of data from our patients. And so these are research participants for the most part who are eager to use their data to help other patients. Finding someone to work on the prognosis question with would be really interesting for us.
Nice, yeah.
Sorry,
guys, hedge off.
That's it.
Okay, well, I guess if you have any questions for me or any more statements, things I've missed that you'd like to discuss on the podcast?
I'd love to know, did you get into like swimming out in the open after?
Definitely. Well, not necessarily. No, I guess not. I was severely bad. I didn't have a concussion. I had severe brain injury in 2003. And I played volleyball before that. So, and I usually just the odd times in lakes and ponds. It was fun, but like, there's never any sense of really doing it. But I started in the January of 2003 in Victoria. So it was, you know, the weather was good, still good. Victoria, BC. And we swam in as of like May, late May, I guess. May, June, July. We swam in this lake. So I was saying lakes before I see the last real memory of a physical activity for except for the bike ride that led to my brain injury, which I remember just the idea that I don't remember it necessarily. Was a 3K swim race we did. We did I think it was the week before. And on Sunday, there was like 5K and 3K. I did 3K. It was all open water, just a lake, which is, they call that a lake, but the pond swimming out was bigger than that, but it's called ponds. I'm not sure that the terminology works, but obviously the ocean is, different animal totally. But I love being open water, some of this nature, again, you understand the mindfulness aspect of it, getting involved, getting in the nature and all stuff, being outside. I just liked it so much more. For example, last night I played, but I could still a bar below outside on the lake on the same pond as Matt. We did that. That was fun. But, I could do.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's awesome that you are getting out and swimming like that. Like it's such an encouraging thing to hear and so helpful for your brain health.
It is. And actually, a lot about that was just, we should keep talking about this, but swimming is a lot of anaerobic stress. Does that affect your biofeedback in any way? That's for concussion and brain injury people?
Sorry, like anaerobic?
The anaerobic aspect of just swimming. So you're holding your breath for, I know just a stroke or two, but,
It's unclear. There's so much of this, the impact of exercise on brain health, that's still not well understood. We just know the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And I know there are people who know more about that than I do, but it is still very, very new and very exciting to look at that.
And is your heart rate monitor, or which is, you said, just start over the hunter heart rate monitors, but say your headband, if they're not, you can't wear them in the water.
A lot of the heart rate monitors, you can wear underwater.
Okay.
And it would just be, that's an interesting problem to solve is giving you an alert when you are underwater. Cause our alerts are all on cell phone right now.
Yeah.
But that would be an interesting problem to solve.
I know there are headphones, you can wear headphones, you are underwater. So
yeah,
it wouldn't be too complicated to do that.
Yeah. As long as you weren't too far out in the pond, you need your cell phone.
Right. They have like a little, you can listen to music. Like I actually, last weekend when I did the 1K swim, there was a woman there who was showing us, I was swimming with the music, and she shows this little tiny iPod, sorry.
Yeah.
MP3 device that she stored and she hooked up. So she could just listen to music without being hooked up anything on shore.
Cool. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not an area that I haven't really worked with swimmers before. I think that's a really, another cool technical problem to think about.
Cool. Well, I trying to tune the weeds about this, but mostly where can people find your clinic, online or in person, or
Yeah. So going, everything's online right now, especially with COVID, everything's done virtually. We've got research assistants that can get you onboarded through Zoom. So you just go to our website, www.neurovine.ai.
Is AI stand for artificial intelligence?
Oh, sorry, pardon me?
Does AI stand for artificial intelligence?
It does, yeah, AI.
What is AI you use in your, how do you obtain that?
So all of our machine learning algorithms
are classified. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the core of what we do is we use data science, mostly machine learning. Nice. But looking at AI-driven insights for clinicians to support their decision-making.
That's so cool. So neurovine.ai. And you found me on Instagram, Heather it is. Hey, Heather. Found me on Instagram. So what's your Instagram? Your Instagram or your Facebook or your both? But I mean.
Do you want to pull those out, Heather?
Heather, you can.
Sure, yeah, at Neurovine at now. AI_AI.
Neurovine_AI for yeah. Both for Facebook and Instagram.
So for Instagram,
Heather and
what? So we have all accounts. So it's Neurovine_AI for Instagram.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, well then, I'll just include those in the description that I do as well. So if there's anyone, because that was spotty if I hear that necessarily. So, yeah. But I will definitely include that in the description, so now we're recording this on the Friday and this will be out on the Tuesday on August 24th. So, thank you all for listening and thank you, Ashley and Heather, who just chimed in at the end that set this all up. So thank you so much for being part of this podcast. And this is just fascinating stuff. It's interesting.
Thanks for having us, Nick. It's really nice chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
The music at the beginning of this podcast is by Ben Sound, www.bensound.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.